For Good Friday, I'm going to speak on the subject of the cup. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 22, Jesus asked his disciples, "Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." Jesus' reply was this, "You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." In chapter 26, we find him and some of his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that he walked away from them about a stone's throw. The Bible says that Jesus left them and went a little bit further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then after he prayed that, he went back to where his disciples were, and he found them asleep. In verse 42, the Bible says that Jesus went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup pass not away from me, except I drink it, your will be done." The cup that Jesus was talking about was a cup of pain, shame, and rejection. He told his disciples in chapter 20, "You will indeed drink of this same cup of shame and pain and humiliation and rejection. You're going to drink from the same cup. They hated me. They're going to hate you. They persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. The servant is not better than the master. If they did these things to me, they'll do these things to you." They were forewarned. Can I pause here for just a moment and give you heads up on this cup of pain and shame and rejection? When it comes to you, you too will do as Jesus did. You will leave the crowd. You will go a little further. You will find a place of solitude. And friend, you will fall on your face and cry out to God. You will pray, "Let this pass from me, but nonetheless, at your will, I will do it." And when you get through praying, I believe that God will send the angels down to strengthen you. This cup of pain and shame and rejection comes to all true people of God. The devil don't like God's people. He hates God and he hates God's people. So just remember, I have given you heads up before it comes to pass. The Bible also tells us about another cup. I read about it in Revelations chapter 14. The Bible tells us that those that worship the beast and bow down to his image and take the mark of the beast in their hands or foreheads, verse 10 says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. This cup is for the ungodly. This cup of wine of the wrath of God is for those God haters, for the God rejecters. This cup is reserved for those who have rejected him, who scorned him. I want you to notice that this cup is without mixture. This cup is not mixed with wrath and mercy. This cup is filled with the raw fury of God on those who spurn His grace when it was available. Those who said, I can do this on my own. I don't need a Savior. I don't need saving by anyone. I got this. It's a cup without mixture. Oh, what a sad day this will be. Oh, to those sinners in the hands of an angry God. But the cup of pain and shame, all those who love Christ will drink of that. But I want to tell you, but the pain and the shame is swallowed up in victory. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Paul drank from this cup of suffering, this cup of pain and shame and rejection. Paul says, we were counted as the scourge of the earth, but I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Jesus endured the shame of the cross for the glory that was to be after. But then there's another cup. Paul referred to this cup as the cup of blessing. While they were in the upper room, and after they had finished dinner, according to Luke 22:17, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this, divide it among yourselves, drink you all of it. And the Bible says, they all drink of it. Jesus said that this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Listen to how Paul referred to this cup in 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessings, he says, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? It is the cup of blessings. Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Can you imagine that? If you don't do this, eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. You're dead. This blood is a powerful blood. This blood has the power to give eternal life. Jesus said, whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. More than 100 years ago, Lewis E. Jones wrote a song about the power of this blood, in which he asked some questions. The first one was, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Colossians 1:14 tells us, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The second question was, would you live daily His praises to sing? There is wonderful power in the blood. The blood of this blessed cup that we bless has the power to redeem. 1 Peter 1:18-19 tells us, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This powerful blood has brought us the peace that we enjoy. Colossians 1:20 tells us, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. Romans 5:10 says, For if, when we were yet sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Ephesians 2:13 tells us, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There is cleansing and purging power in this blood. 1 John 1:7 tells us, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. And then we read in Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Not only does the blood bring us all of these blessings, but it is through the blood that we have access to the throne of God. Hebrews 9:8 tells us, the Holy Ghost signifies that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing. Having therefore, brothers, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is by His blood that we have access to the Father. Through His blood, God has granted every one of us access into the holiest of holies. My fear is that there would arise a generation in our churches today that know not the power of this blood. In Judges chapter 2, the Bible says that the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of God that He did in Israel. But there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. I'm afraid that if we are not careful, if we do not preach this power in the blood, so that men, women, boys, and girls around the world can know that they have an advocate with the Father, that there is a source of relief from their guilty conscience, from their sins. So let us never fail to continue to preach the power that's in the blood.